Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reveal that we are to be actively answering the call to pray first of all. Take your rightful place as a prayer leader to move mountains in your world.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Say victory. Glory to God. It's the church's hour, isn't it, Billy? Billy Brim's with us to share some great things with us.
You know what? I had a funny thought.
What?
When you did that like that, when you went out with victory.
Yeah.
I thought of the days that you used to be a cheerleader.
I was a good cheerleader.
And you probably said V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory, victory. That's our cry.
That's right.
Well, that's definitely the cry of the church. Bless the Lord.
Yes, amen. And we're the team that wins.
The church wins. Hallelujah.
That's why you want to be a part of the church.
That's right. And you're such an important part because you have a power right now like no one else on earth, and that power is prayer.
Praise God.
Before one of the Great Awakenings, it was the one just before the Civil War, there was a prayer movement swept across the United States. And a man said it was as if the church discovered its real power, the power
Praise
of prayer.
God.
So we're in the discovery of our real power right now and what it has to do with all things regarding the times of the end.
Amen.
And my daughter-in-law sent me this quote from Andrew Murray. The man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history.
Praise God.
And you know, Gloria, I'm not an evangelist. I have the offices of prophet and teacher. And I go out and I preach and teach and have for years. But when it comes to like doing the altar call, I'll pick someone up that I know has a better anointing for that than me. Maybe they have an evangelistic anointing. And this really blessed me because he said, Andrew Murray said, the man, and of course a woman, who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history.
It's a great statement.
So when you mobilize prayers, and God's called me to do that, and he's given me platforms to do it from. Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, we have every Wednesday a prayer, online prayer meeting at noon that's streamed live visually, billybrim.org, and then at 8 o'clock in the mornings we have a prayer call. We have people call to pray for Israel and the United States last 30 minutes. And the last prayer call that we had 41 states. They shout
Praise
out their states
God.
When they come online. 41 states and 5 countries. People
awesome.
Are praying.
Praise
and,
God.
And he has given me this, and he now has given
awesome.
Me another assignment. And it's called First of All Campaign. Campaign like a political campaign.
That's good.
First of All Campaign. And the campaign is that, first of all, we would pray for the leaders. And it's obeying, of course, 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness
yes,
and honesty.
Amen.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
So this is the first of all scripture that God gave through the pastor Timothy. He gave through Paul to Timothy and to us. And they had terrible times and they had terrible rulers at that time. So it doesn't matter. You've prayed first of all and it's going to do some good. So, but we're asking for a commitment. I am on a first of all campaign and we're asking for a commitment. We want you, we want to mobilize a group, and they will promise to pray first of all for our leaders. Then they had kings. Today we've got presidents, prime ministers. So you can call a number and you can just give your name and say, or you don't even have to give your name, but just say, I commit to pray first of all for our leaders before I pray for my family, my job, my health, wealth.
That
I'm
is
gonna
really
pray.
Powerful, Bill.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah, that's going to work.
It's going to work. Mm-hmm. And the number you can call is 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. And you just say, I commit to pray first of all. Now, we're going to have in August, we're going to meet with some first of all people that have committed to pray on the Mall in Washington, D.C. on August 20th. 2017. You maybe watched this before or after. I don't know, the way you can watch things forever these days. And we're going to count up the numbers we've got, and I'm going to hand them to get them to Vice President Pence.
Good.
And we've got this many people that are praying, first of all, for you all. Praise the Lord.
Praise
now,
God.
This First of All campaign, how it was birthed in my spirit was, God caused me to know that Donald John Trump was going to be the President of the United States. And how he caused me to know it was through a Muslim, former Muslim man who had visions. Now, so much is happening with the Muslim world in these days. I have ideas and theories about from the Bible about what's going to happen. I believe there will be a big number of them come in, but they're already coming in big numbers. I happened to be watching Pat Robertson's 700 Club on April 17th, and there was a man named Tom Doyle, an author, and he was talking about Middle East Christians and the persecution they're undergoing right now, but it's they're having a great harvest, even in the midst of persecution. So he tells the stories in his new book, Standing in the Fire. The title comes from like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire.
Yeah.
And they were actually in the fire in the areas, the biblical areas of what's so hot in the Middle East today. And so he gives story after story of their standing in the fire for God. And then he had another book previously called Dreams and Visions, Is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World? He quoted, those who keep record of such things report, this is what Tom Doyle said, that in the past 10 to 15 years, more Muslims have come to Christ than in 14 centuries.
Wow.
Woo-hoo! Something's happening. And of course, he said, many are coming as a result of dreams and visions. And he's put those into his books, Dreams and Visions.
Praise God.
Well, bless the Lord. That's how my friend Max came to the Lord. And you know, the Bible says in Joel 2:28, that it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh.
Yep.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Then Peter was preaching, you know, after the Holy Ghost was poured out there on the day of Pentecost. Some people thought they were drunk down in the streets of Jerusalem. He said, these are not drunken as you suppose. This is Acts 2:15. Seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your
Hallelujah.
Daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out of those in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
Praise
the Lord. So, I want you to know that it's biblically happening. And as Tom Doyle wrote, he has kept the record of it. It's happening in the Middle East that they are seeing visions. We know from Joel chapter 33 that God appears to men in visions and dreams and rescues them. And so that's what happened with my friend Max, who had the visions that told me and let me know Donald Trump was going to be elected president. Max first saw me 20 years ago at Mack and Lynn Hammond's church. He has a Christian wife. He is Palestinian, actually born in Jordan. And he married a Christian woman. That's a long story how that happened. Don't have time to tell it here. But she married him, a wonderful, beautiful woman. And she encouraged him, probably begged him, to go to church and hear me that night at Mack and Lynn's. And when I got up, I started talking about Israel, which I often do. It made him so angry. He got up and stomped out. He said to me, just in casual conversation, he said, my family has deeds that go back three generations to land that Israel now has. And he said, I was adamant. I hated Israel. I was taught to hate Israel. I was taught everything about them. But so he said, I stomped out on your meeting. But that's 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then through the years, he had a business. If he had trouble in his business, he'd pray. Nothing happened. He'd ask his wife to pray. She's a dedicated Christian. She'd pray, get answers. He noticed when she prays to God, her God, she gets answers. When I pray to mine, I don't
Praise
get any
God.
Answers. So he softened through the years. Of course, she's praying for him. He softened and softened. And so in January of 2011, that's what, 6 years or so ago, she had him to church. And he heard the audible voice of the Lord.
Praise God.
And he said, the Lord called me by my name. And he said, you need to come to me. He said, I ignored it. I looked all around and I ignored it. And he said, I heard it again. You need to come to me. Now he says, who are you? Max said, who are you? He said, I am your Lord. I am Isa. That's in Arabic. That's how you say the name of Jesus. I am Isa. Then he said, I am Yeshua. I am the Messiah. You need to come to me.
Praise God.
And he said, he called me by my name, and he said, that melted me because Allah would never call a man by his name. He would call him slave. What? So he said, when he called me by my name, So he said, I walked to the front and I accepted Jesus into my life. And he's a wonderful man. He changed. And the Lord Jesus kept on appearing to him in open-eyed visions. He would talk to him about straightening him out on the Jews, on Israel. And now, you couldn't find a man who's more dedicated to God's promises for what Israel should have and what they should be than my friend Max.
I thought that was interesting. It said Allah would never call a man's name.
He would never call him by name, call him slave. So here's Jesus. Remember how Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he called Mary by name?
Yeah.
She thought he was a gardener.
That is so interesting.
And he said, Mary. Oh, think of it, Gloria. Think of him calling you by your name. He said it melted him when he called him by his name. And he went to the front, gave his heart to him. Then he starts to have these visions. And the Lord shows him about Israel, its place, teaches him. And about things that are going to happen in the Middle East. Someone told him, you need to have these visions judged. So he went to his pastor. And since so many of them were about the Middle East and even prophetic, his pastor said, I don't know about these things. He said, you should have Billy Brim to judge them. Well, he remembered me from 20 years ago when he walked out. Walked out on that meeting.
Yeah.
So he lived in the north, you know. He lived in, I can't remember if he lived in Wisconsin or Minnesota. But anyway, he drove all the way a few years back, about 4 years ago. He and his family drove to Branson, met me, and asked me if I would judge his visions. He gave me a book about his life, and I said, prayed about it, and I said, yes, I will. So he started calling me. When he would have a vision, he would call me and ask me to judge it. One time, he had a vision. It wasn't God. And that allowed me to teach him. I think the Lord let it allow to teach him from second that you yourself have got to judge a vision. There are going to be lots of visions in these end times, and people need to know how to judge them. They can come from either the realm of the light or they can come from the realm of darkness. And Brother Hagin, you know, the man I came up under, he had many face-to-face visions of Jesus Christ. And he would always say to the Lord, you look like Jesus, you sound like Jesus, but you give me two or three witnesses from the Word of God that what you've just taught me is truth. Because the Bible says everything will be established by two or three witnesses. And usually, the Lord Jesus was teaching Brother Hagin. And usually, the Lord Jesus was teaching my friend Max. He taught Max about ISIS and their plans and told him that they were not going to come to fruition, what they planned to do. He showed him how they planned to establish a caliphate, how they planned to come down through Jordan, how they planned to go to the Temple Mount and establish their caliphate. And he told him, he said, Jesus told him they won't get this done. Well, that was God for sure. But then he had a vision, which Brother Hagin told me one time. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, he told me this. He said, I tell people what Jesus tells me, but I don't ever tell them what the devil tries to tell me. The devil will try to come to you on the same winds of the Spirit that you hear God. He'll try to come to you, but you judge those thoughts that come or a vision that comes. You judge it and you tell him, get thee out of here. But here's what I told Max about judging. I said, now, Max, when you're having an open-eye vision of Jesus, right then you control the situation. And you do it like this. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, there are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Even Satan himself can transform himself into something beautiful, something so appealing. You're not going to follow anybody that comes to you with a pitchfork and red suit and horns. That actually, vision of that didn't come till Dante's Inferno when he wrote that poem, which was a great poem. But you know Mama Jenkins?
Yeah.
She had a vision of Satan, and she said he was very handsome. Appeared to her like a handsome, beguiling figure. So Satan can do that.
Did he appear to her as a man? Or?
As a man, yep. But something beyond, she could tell. Now here's 1 John 4:1, and I told this to Max. You got to judge these visions. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Mm. Whereof you've heard that he should come, and even now already in the world. So, Brother Hagin, when he taught on this, he always taught us, he said, now anybody, anywhere, just any human walking around can say, Jesus came in the flesh. Even, you know, a false prophet. But when the Spirit is in manifestation, when you're seeing that vision, when you're hearing the Holy Ghost or another spirit give a word in a church service, when that Spirit is in manifestation, he cannot say Jesus came in the flesh. He cannot say it. He's bound by God's Word. He cannot say it.
Hmm.
And so I told Max, like for instance, sometimes, you know, when I'm praying, Gloria, I can hear the Lord, and I know Ken can too, like he's talking to you. This is from years of practicing his presence and sitting under Brother Hagin and learning how to do it. When I'm in my prayer time, I can hear, if I ask the Lord a question, I can hear an answer. And sometimes I can hear, I'm sitting down there and I sit quiet there in the morning. I'm listening. And oftentimes it will come to me like a psalm, hymn, or spiritual song, like it says in Ephesians. And it will come to me maybe in a rhyme, words that I couldn't rhyme, you know. And I'll write them down, what God wants. But I always say, I judge it by the Word. Judge it by the Word. You got to know the Word.
Mm-hmm.
But then I always say, do you confess Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And this same voice that I hear inside me, he will say, yes, I came in the flesh once, and I'm coming again for the redemption of men. He'll say something like that.
Yeah.
And it lets me know, I've heard from God. So I told Max. Max told me, he said, when you told me that, how to judge visions, he said it was like a weight rolled off my shoulders. Because
praise
I could
God.
Judge it, and I could know if this is God showing me this, or if not. One time he heard all these voices, and he had to drive off the road. He couldn't even drive. He heard so many voices. And he drove off the side of the road and parked there, and the Lord said, you know what those voices are? Those are my saints at prayer.
Praise.
And they were coming up before God. So it means so much for our prayers to come up before God. And that's why I want to have this First of All campaign and get you signed
that's
up
excellent.
To it.
Excellent.
But we're going to talk more tomorrow about what he saw. But the first vision that he had in September 2016, that Donald Trump was going to become the president. And the Lord showed him this, and he had points of emphasis in each of the visions, which he would call me and tell me. And at first, I didn't even believe Donald Trump is going to be the president. But he would call me and tell me this. And his points of emphasis every time Jesus appeared to him were this. Number one, God had prepared him, Donald Trump. Number two, it would require the prayers of the church as never before, before the election, and especially after the election. Mm-hmm. Number three, and we might should have put this number one. He was going to be made president because it is meant for blessing. His incumbency is meant for blessing for the United States of America, for Israel, and for Jerusalem. That is the purpose of God putting him in office. That it would be a time, like it says over there, if you pray, then you're going to get a time here. And the time would be a time for blessing for the United States, for Israel, and for Jerusalem, no matter what's going on in the world. And so, praise the Lord.
Wow.
I believed it, and out of it grew this this campaign that we have, this First of All campaign. I want you to sign up. And you can sign up and say, I commit to pray, first of all. He's going to have it. That was the thing I got when he would tell me about one of these visions. It was, but the church has to pray like never before. For God to do things, the church has to pray. And so we invite you to become a part of this First of All campaign.
That's really
just call
exciting.
The number and say, really? I sign up, I commit. Call 1-800-972-3447. You can go online to billybrim.org and there's a First of All place you can click and then just follow the prompts. But we're going to take to Vice President Pence on August 20th. We're going to take him a statement that says how many we've got praying, first of all, committed to pray. Won't you
Good.
Be one of those numbers?
Praise God.
Bless the Lord.
That's exciting, isn't that?
It is exciting, Gloria. I know this came from heaven.
Yeah. Wow. Praise God. Oh, what happened to our time?
I took it all up.
This is so good, and you need to share it with other people. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.